Welcome to my podcast, Emotional Wellness with Angela. So today's topic is how to spot a narcissist. You know, this is a topic that is very prevalent over the last few years, and I am sure you're going to gain maybe some new insight. Perhaps you are surprised about some of the things that we're going to talk about it. But nevertheless, I am super excited that you are here. And let's get started. So, you know, over the last several years, there has been a lot of buzz around this topic, you know, but yet in many circumstances, the deeper meaning of a narcissist or, you know, even narcissistic behavior is commonly still unclear. At times, this term is used, you know, shall I say, quite loosely and often misinterpreted, you know. And yet, many people in close relationships with a narcissist have often absolutely no clue what they're dealing with. Although, you know, there is this deep nagging and inner feeling of unease in someone's gut, subconsciously somehow knowing that something isn't quite right. Perhaps you have been one of them. And I'm going to tell you a secret. I certainly have been there, so I totally get it. Now, hello. My name is Angela Santiago. Let me introduce myself really quick before we start. I'm an energy medicine practitioner. I'm a certified aromatherapist and a counselor. So my expertise is, you know, supporting clients when they are not emotionally aligned, primarily due to previous or even current trauma. And then what I do is I find simple yet powerful solutions to build up their confidence, to inspire them, and to shift their negative self-beliefs to gain, shall I say, more clarity and to love themselves unconditionally. Right? So to learn more about what I have to offer, you can visit my website at angelasantiago.com. So now let's get started with a plain description of what a narcissist is, right? So Merriam-Webster defines it as the following: extremely self-centered with an exaggerated sense of self-importance, marked by or characteristics of excessive admiration of or infatuation with oneself. Whew, that's a lot to take in, right? So now, I already told you a little bit that I have had some experience with a narcissist. So my interpretation of this is, which is really short and to the point, they obsess about themselves and they could care less about others. There you go. There you have it, right? And again, you know, you may say, well, how do you know? Well, like I said, I have lived with someone for 1.5 decades. And trust me when I tell you, it was a very long time. So usually when a narcissist meets someone new, especially when they are interested in someone they want to pursue in a deeper relationship, they disguise themselves like literally as really skilled chameleons, and they portray themselves in a much, much, much different light than who they truly are. So when you start meeting them, or, you know, you get to know somebody somewhere at a party or at an event, you know, they're very typically very charming. They're confident. At least they seem confident. Let me put that in there. And irresistibly charismatic. That is one of their trademarks, right? So engaging another person in a conversation is literally almost effortless to them, especially when their carefully crafted words are flooded, and I mean flooded, with compliments and excessive flattery. Now, they have the ability to make others feel enormously special. And I want you to listen to this. Here comes the kicker. They are genuinely valued by others. They're almost, well, like, shall I say, magnetic charm is beyond captivating while slowly reeling in their targets. So I also want to mention that this type of behavior is usually solely with brand new relationships. So when they're just meeting someone and they're trying to impress someone, you know, with all their might, with everything they have, that is usually when that happens. Now, they also have this uncanny ability to hone into someone else's insecurities and their deep desires. And the other person, they want them to get to know them, and they're making them feel like they are finally understood. And then that's when they start building a bond and an illusion of genuine connections with the other person. So very important to remember. Now, one thing that's important to note is that actual narcissistic behavior ultimately captivates another person's attention and gains admiration. Whew, a lot of stuff to take in, right? And that is usually what the narcissist is thriving on, is this attention seeking. Always want to have everybody's eyes on them and them only, right? So now, spotting a narcissist at first can be very, very challenging. However, when you focus on the words and the conversation, what they're saying, their words, their demeanor, maybe even their gestures, that can give us some important clues and red flags right there to avoid pursuing this brand new relationship, right? So I want you all to pay attention. Now, all of that said, some of us have either been in a decade-long relationship, or we're trying to get out of a relationship, you know, which is not always a simple position to be in. I am trying to portray, I'm trying to make it clear to when you are not in that situation yet and you are in a new relationship. So I want you to really pay attention so you will not be in this dilemma of being stuck with someone like this. So what we're going to do next is we're going to jump in and discuss 10 common traits that are associated with a narcissist. Now, once you pay attention, you can write some notes, you can listen to it, whatever you desire, okay? Or maybe you recognize some of them in your own life or something that you either have been through or currently are experiencing. The first thing is there's a huge lack of empathy, you know? Their lack of compassion is sometimes literally incomprehensible. There is a significant, you know, disconnect between their own needs and others' needs, which the narcissist, as we are going to find out, usually dismisses. It's always, and I mean always with capital letters, about them and about them only. That's it. Now, number two, there is an incredible sense of entitlement. They believe they deserve special treatment. They are always first in line without any delay. They're entitled to unique privileges, and they often expect a red carpet to be rolled out each time they enter a room. And when I say red carpet, I mean they want to be acknowledged and admired by anyone in that room. That is what they're thriving on. So it doesn't matter if it's a business meeting or, you know, an event, maybe a private party, a birthday party, or a celebration, anniversary, whatever. That is what they do. It's like all eyes on me. That's the narcissist's thing, right? So number three, constant manipulation. Their manipulation skills, they are nearly unmatched. And they usually use tactics like gaslighting and making others feel guilty for absolutely no reason, playing on their emotions and using their influence to keep being in control and basically always wanting to control others. Wow. So let's go on to number four, excessive self-centeredness. Narcissists only talk about their needs and desires and are totally preoccupied, you know, with themselves. They could care less about what's happening in someone else's life. Not so much at the beginning, but we're going to get to that. So, in fact, they often mock others and they act like they're above everyone else. And that is not a good place to be. Even when people are really sad, when they're feeling down and they're in despair, they just don't care. To them, oh well, too bad, too sad for you, right? So they present a very callous and cold demeanor, mostly around the person, though, that they are very, very close to. And remember, when they're around strangers or maybe even people from work, they want to be the life of the party. They are acting charming, funny, and also captivating. They're trying to disguise all of their real traits, real in quotation marks, right? Because they don't really want to be figured out by others. But the person that is the closest to them, they are figuring this out slowly but surely, right? Now, number five, there is a lack of accountability. They never, again, all in capital letters, never admit to doing anything wrong and even deny it. Yes, they do. And often shift the blame on others. Again, usually the loved one or the loved ones for what they did wrong. Again, we're going back to the same term, gaslighting. You know, they're usually accusing the other person of what, you know, saying they did something wrong for the same thing that they did wrong themselves. And the other person is really, truly blameless. But that's where the shift comes in. So are you ready for this one? Number six, grandiosity and inflation of self. Only talking about self and mostly all about their accomplishments, inflating the truth in such a magnitude that it only makes them seem super, super important. You know, like, for instance, their boss cannot live without them because they are the smartest, and the boss gives them a lot of admiration and just always wanted to be first and foremost. Now, number seven, extreme fragile ego and self-esteem. Yeah, who knew, right? So underneath all of this fake confidence that they are portraying, they have a very, 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 there are not enough varies in the sentence, fragile self-image. They feel threatened and very often disvalued, even by the very slightest criticism they perceive. All right? They want to remain number one, and they want to remain in control and nothing less. Nothing less. So number eight, consistent violations of boundaries. Hoo-wee. Oh my goodness, where to start? They simply disregard personal boundaries, privacy, and personal space, even when they are told to refrain from that. Yes, I know, I've experienced that. And when they are doing this over and over again, not taking anyone's privacy and space into consideration, even though they'd aggravate somebody else, oh well, it's all about them and their immediate needs and their immediate wants. They could care less about the other person. Number nine, exploitation, being unkind, unfairly mistreating and taking advantage of others, mostly for their personal gain. They are so quick to use someone when they have more knowledge of something that they do not and use them for their personal gain. And when they're done and have what they want, poof, they get rid of them, just like that. They have very little gratitude. They have very little appreciation. And I'm going to say this again. I've mentioned it a bunch of times, and again and again and again. It's mostly for their significant other. That is usually where they have very little gratitude and appreciation, because now they have what they want and they reel their target in, and now it's on. Now they're doing what they want to do, right? So, and I also want to say that every single trade is the most important to look out for, but the reality is all of the traits are important. It's not just one or the other. You really have to listen carefully to every single trait that I'm talking about today. So they, number 10, they cannot handle criticism. It's almost waiting for a ticking time bomb. Disagreeing, or even worse, disapproving of their opinion. Holy cow. It's like the biggest betrayal and the biggest disrespect to them. And let me point out, there will be revenge, and often worse than we can even imagine. You know, they plot, they scheme to hurt another person emotionally, usually with their fullest intention. It's done on purpose to really hurt somebody. And when I say hurt, it's most of the time it's emotional, mentally, just talking down on them and just make them feel less than. The person disagreeing with them, okay, will literally think twice about choosing to do this another time or next time. Very often, you know, the people that are targeted, they learn to be very quiet. They don't want to rock the boat, and they just, you know, slowly but surely start keeping their thoughts to themselves before being exposed to their mate's wrath once again. You know, again, the narcissist very often expects only praise and admiration, which goes back to having a very, very fragile ego. And when they're not number one and not the center of attention, they will not like it and let you know. All right. So by simply recognizing all of these above traits, all of the stuff that I was just going through, there, we can have a much, much deeper understanding and a better understanding of what to look out for when we meet somebody new, and have a much easier time like honing in and just looking for the red flags that are literally waving at us, right? So now that we have explored all of those effects being around a narcissist, I want us to look at the person that is close to them. So let's just turn everything around. Let's look at these significant others who is exposed to this behavior from a narcissist. Because living with them, whether it's for a short time or whether it's for decades, is quite an eye-opening experience. I'm telling you, this is, if you have never experienced that, you are blessed. That's all I can say. You are blessed and you're in a really good place, because this can really give us an insight and answers to a myriad of questions that may, you know, in on our minds, the ones that are getting the wrath and the ones that are connected with them. So let me ask you this. Listening to all the things that I just shared with you, does any of this resonate with you, or maybe someone that you know? Could be either or, right? So if you suspect you have been living with or being around a narcissist, let's see how many of these emotions you actually experienced and are familiar with. So, number one, feeling confused and misunderstood. You know, not grasping that the person they, you know, that we once met, or, you know, they were so tuned into us. You know, they understood our deepest concerns. They were avid listeners. And all of a sudden, like, poof, it's gone. Nothing makes sense. And we start to begin doubt even our own sanity at times, you know? So we're slowly trusting ourselves less and less and less. We start believing what the narcissist is accusing us of, even though, and I want you to listen to this, even though there is no valid reason for that belief. It's like we're getting brainwashed slowly but surely over weeks and months and years and sometimes decades. Another way we can feel is helpless and alone, because the lack of empathy from a narcissist can make us feel so isolated and so secluded, especially when our own emotions and our own needs and wants are continuously disregarded. It's like they don't even exist. We don't exist, you know. Sometimes also we may feel too embarrassed to share our personal struggles with someone else, whether it's a close friend or even a trusted family member. You know, it's we're feeling scattered, we're feeling unsettled, you know. And I guess we're feeling really bad ourselves. And I guess the last thing that we really want to do is look at another failure and actually admitting this to someone else. So we end up choosing to keep all of this despair, all of this stuff that we're going through to ourselves, and we just keep on suffering silently, you know, walking on eggshells. You know, because we want to avoid the next argument. And I'm saying at all cost, you know, because we don't want to be worried and have this anticipation of how the narcissist is going to react to whatever we have to say, you know, and sometimes also being afraid of an unnecessary outburst or confrontation. Another huge thing is, and I have that experienced for years and years and years, is not having a voice, not being able to speak what's on my mind or what's on your mind, you know. Although, you know, if we dare to actually do speak up, again, there might be consequences. There could be a silent treatment. Or the truth could be twisted around. Again, we're going back to gaslighting. It's the same old story, right? The narcissist accuses you of listening to your, in quote, terrible friends instead of them. Hence, you know, taking us further and further from our trusted, you know, connections. And it's another thing. They're trying to isolate us from other people. They're trying to isolate us from our friends. And friends, and you know what I have experienced, they all of a sudden they start becoming a rare commodity, you know. And that is the goal of a person with a narcissistic trait. They will all want us all to themselves, and so we have fewer and fewer friends in connection, because we are the ones who are totally committed to them. We want to please them, make them happy, you know, please them, all of this. And that's when they end up having control over us. And we don't even see that coming most of the time. All of this happens in a very subtle, it's a very subtle place. It's a very subtle, how shall I say? It's just very, very subtle. It's a slow, very slow thing that is happening over a period of time, right? Now, what else is happening to us suddenly, or I don't want to say suddenly, but over time, there can be an increasingly low self-esteem that we're experiencing them, because daily criticism, you know, of not being valued, being belittled, you know, all of this can take a toll on our already bruised self-esteem. And then we end up, you know, having feelings of self-doubt, feeling inadequate, you know, having self-limitations, and then self-sabotage sets in, right? Most of the time, not living up to our potential, but living in the box the narcissist put us and kept us in for so long, and perhaps still keeping us in many cases, right? We already touched on this ongoing manipulation. You know, we talked about this earlier. So narcissists have an unbelievable ability to manipulate, hence controlling us, mainly about our thoughts, our feelings, our actions, which is utterly baffling. Utterly baffling. You know, then we can also have this awful feeling of being trapped. You know, not being able to get out of this relationship, not feeling like we can't leave them and we can't maybe survive without them. You know, even with the discernment and this enormous heaviness that we have around this relationship, yet very often, you know, we're unable to escape a toxic person. As difficult and as harsh as it seems, you know, I was stuck in a relationship for nearly 15 years. So I understand that. And I consider myself a very intelligent person. And but it's amazing how they can put wool over someone's eye, especially when we're in quote love with them, right? So, and last but not least, doubting reality. Most real true narcissists, they have, I guess, the power or the capability, if you will, to gaslight another person to the point where they like literally question their own reality, their own truth, their own sanity. And again, then they experience self-doubt, self-criticism, and sometimes they can literally abuse themselves emotionally, which means emotional abuse of self means talking down on ourselves, saying, for instance, I'm going to give you some examples. I am so stupid. I'm not smart enough. I'm such a klutz. Oh, gee, I'm just worthless. I keep doing the same silly things. I keep speaking up when I shouldn't. It's my fault. I'm doing everything wrong. You know, blaming ourselves. And I want to add, mostly for no reason. So now, listening closely to all the examples that I just gave, is there something in there that's resonating with you? That you maybe have felt for a long time and you never figured out why? Interesting, right? So, to the conclusion of this entire podcast, what I wanted to really get across is these are the things to avoid, all right? So, what I have personally learned from being stuck in this type of relationship, and let me add, for decades, is to pay close attention to the little warning signs to avoid another train wreck in the making. So I'm going to give you a quick summary of what to look for at the beginning of a brand new relationship. Number one, pay attention to their dialogue. Do they mainly talk about themselves? Okay, red flag right there. What do they talk about? What comes out of their mouths? Listen to their words. If it's all about them, check. Maybe not a good start. Number two, they go overboard with complimenting you, especially at the very beginning. They're in a state where they're going so overboard, it almost feels a little bit unnatural, right? Now, that being said, for a person that is starving for attention, that has never had the intention or even a quarter of the attention that that person is giving you, it's almost like showering them with lots of love and hearts all over, and they are just soaking everything in.